Welcome to the Next Gen Podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are your hosts, Bryson Wright and Alex Winton. They got next, so let's get to the show.
Hello, welcome into the Next Gen Podcast here on the Big City Media Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex Winton. And we got a loaded show to get to. We got our guy, Chip Williams, coming in for draft talk later. But we got to start with the biggest Grizzlies news of the past week. I know we talked a little bit about it last time that it was going to be coming out probably before this show. And that is the Ja Morant suspension, where he's going to be out the first 25 games of the season, which there's a lot of stuff that you could really get into about, like, that video that came out on TMZ with the lighter and all that or whatever that is. But honestly, I think that – I know they're probably going to do an appeal, but I think that – they might just need to go ahead and just take the 25 games and just move on, because all in all, it's a long time. It is a long time. But when you consider that there's a lot of people out here that were calling for like 50, 40, like all this, I never thought it was going to be that much, but it's like, I think that it might be better for them to just be like, you know, it was a mistake. They're going to move on from it. They're going to take the 25 games. I think there will be an appeal. It might end up being like 20 games, a little bit less. I don't think there's going to be like an appeal and all of a sudden there's no suspension or something like that. But they might appeal and it might be less. But I think that there's a lot of people that said it was too long. And then there's a lot of people that said it's too short. So that probably means that it's about where it needed to be, I guess, because there's a lot of people wrong on both sides. So I don't know. There's a lot of people that were mad about it on both sides. So I feel like it might have actually been in the right place. So I think that overall, they can deal with it. I don't think it should change any of their moves they make in the offseason. Because, I mean, even if they start bad the first 25 games, which I still really don't think they will, because they've proven that they can play pretty well without him, I think they'll still have a pretty good start to the season as long as Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. are healthy. So I think that if they, whatever move they were going to make, whether that means they're going to move on from Tyus, like they've been saying, I don't think that they should change that based on a 25 game suspension.
Yeah. For me, 25 is about right. Like, I've been on this pod, obviously, as we've talked about the last month, I think almost. I said 20 to 30 games is probably it. I didn't think they were going to do like 16. That just didn't seem right in my head, because they were going to make sure that he couldn't get any postseason eligible, you know, like the awards, like he couldn't be eligible for any of the awards. And they also weren't going to go overboard to be like, we're going to give him 50 games, because what he did, even though there hasn't been like, obviously, there's, you know, there's going to be a punishment. It didn't deserve 40 or 50 games. Like, just, you would for real ask, because my thing is, you would for real want the Players Association on your bad side. They would for sure appeal that if they ever went that, you know, that high. So, 25 seems about right. So, you know, plus it might even be 30 still, because they did say he has to do a program to whatever to get back into, you know, in their good grades, or basically to play, he has to do some program. And again, from what it sounds like, he gets to make up that, or not make up that program, but he gets some say in what that is, whether that's like a program or whatever. And so, you know, even though he's not playing the 25 games, he also, I think they said he can be around the team facility. I think that's what Sham said, or Woj, I forgot which one it was, but they both said that. So there's some little stuff that didn't come out, little tidbit stuff like that, that I think will, you know, that matters. And I don't think it's going to change the whole thing, but it does help in some extent. It can. But like you said, in terms of the moves, I don't think that should change the Grizzlies' plans. 25 games, like you said, we've seen this team start out 9-10 and win 56 games. That start should not matter. And especially like you said, like I keep telling people, when you have the three guys that you do as your three best players, if two to three are playing, history shows you're going to be a good team regardless. I'm not saying you're going to be the best team, but like, last year, we started the year without Ja or Jaren, and it was just Ja and Bane. Then after that, as soon as Jaren get back, Bane's out. So now it's Ja and Jaren. So, and then after that, Ja gets suspended, then it's Bane and Jaren. Like, we saw that team still be good and win 51 games in spite of all that. And that's not even to mention the other injuries that you had down the line with Adams, with BC. So I say, I have to say, if Jaren and Bane are healthy, especially if they continue to improve not only as, you know, leaders but as players, yeah, they're going to be fine, especially if the roster's improved too, because again, we're going to get into it, you know, with the draft picks and stuff. That's going to improve your roster depending on that free agency. So you still got a lot of more moves to make. So I don't think Tyus should be the holdup, especially when he's an expiring contract. You're not going to keep him past this year. You might as well get value for him now instead of just letting him walk for nothing. And then you end up looking like, I won't say you let, I mean, you let Kyle walk for nothing, but Tyus is more valued than Kyle. So you don't want to let like a starter level point guard just walk out the door. At least I wouldn't want to, that because we've seen them get value for other guys before in the past. So yeah, you know, I don't think that, you know, the 25 games will be fine. I think, you know, they'll hold down the fort, and you know, I think Ja will come back, and you know, if he's playing well, we're not, and we don't miss a beat, this can all be forgotten to some extent, just like it was last time. As long as he's playing well, this can all be forgotten. So just glad it's over. Well, not over, but glad we know what amount of games we got.
Yeah, there's no more speculation. Like that's the good thing. There's no more speculation. Exactly. We know what it's gonna be now. And now I feel like the front office and everybody can kind of move now that they actually have the number, you know, they can move with that in mind. Now, I think since it's 25, I think it does make it seem like I don't think it's gonna change their plans too much just because it is, you know, not half the season or something crazy like that. So I think all in all, I think it'll be fine. I think the team is going to figure it out. It might even be good for Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. at the beginning of the season to play more as like 1A and 1B. I think that could be pretty cool to watch. That could come out of like a really tough situation. But not really to dwell on that too much. I do have to welcome in our guest for this week. We got our guy, Chip Williams, coming in, joining the stream. What's up, Chip? How you doing, man?
Well, I'm great. I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, for sure. So if you guys don't follow Chip on Twitter, he is one of the best NBA draft experts, especially with us here at Bluff City Media. He dropped his entire NBA big board, really tapped in on all stuff NBA draft. So kind of to start, just to ask about, you know, the beginning of the draft. We've all seen what Victor Wembanyama actually looks like when you see him like in all these overseas games in the little G League and night thing. In terms of what you think of him as a prospect, like how insane is this dude really? Like when you actually sit and look at this.
I mean, it's insane. Like he's what everyone says, you know, it's the hype is 100% justified. I've been doing this, you know, kind of since maybe 2010, 2011, maybe the last 12 years or so. I'm kind of old, I guess, when it comes to NBA Twitter. So I've been around for a minute. But I used to think the two best prospects I'd ever seen in my life were Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid. And I thought it was going to be really – because obviously Embiid didn't go one. He had the back problems at Kansas, right? But I thought that, like, if this guy's okay, we haven't seen too many people like this, right? And I think that Wemby is just a tier above both of those guys. He's like generational shot blocker. I don't think we've ever seen a better shot blocker than him. He changes the geometry of the basketball court as a defensive player. You know, he completely walls off anything close to the basket. And then like, if he just did that, he may still be the number one pick, but then you turn around on offense and you watch him hit these crazy, like he's taking guys off the dribble. He's shooting these like one leg, weird Dirk Nowitzki leaning threes. I don't know where this guy's going to end up, but like, okay, here's what I'll say. I'll end it this way on Wemby. Even if he busts, he's the right pick. It doesn't matter. Like he is the best prospect I have ever seen. And he is the number one pick in this draft. And regardless of how his NBA career turns out, that's the guy the Spurs are going to take and should take.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't know if you play 2K, but yeah, they literally, like, they banned people from making players like this. Like, they literally made it so you can't do that. Now they're going to have to go in and fix that because they're like, oh, wait, there's actually, like, a 7'4" dude that can dribble the ball, block all the shots, shoot threes. Like, it's all the stuff that you think. That's how I explained it. It's like, dude, he's doing stuff that you can't even do in the video game. Like, he's doing stuff you can't even do, like, and he's doing it in real life. So it's just crazy to actually see him. I'm very excited to see him on an NBA court because I've been watching and seeing, like, the little clips and rumblings about this dude for a couple years just on Twitter and stuff like that, too. So it'll be cool to actually see him in the NBA.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think one thing you guys saw too is like when he came over, you referenced that game he played against the Ignite too, right? Well, obviously in America, our rules are a little bit different than the way they play it in Europe. And you saw how, like, what do you end up with, like 35 points or something like that the one time he comes and plays in America? Like, I think the rule changes the way the NBA plays it versus the way they play it in Europe is only going to help Wemby with the spacing and the way things work over here.
Yeah, Wemby's crazy. Like, I laugh at some of the stuff he do. Like, well, not really some. Most of the stuff, like, I'll watch, like, the highlights and I just kind of laugh at the stuff because it doesn't seem real. Like, it's like, for real. Like, it's just, I gotta laugh at it because I'm like, that's just fake. Like, it's really, like, it doesn't make sense to me. But I think Wemby's going to be really good. Obviously, like, I think, like you said, like, we haven't seen it. And like you said, like, defensively, like, he has it all already. The only knock on him, really, like, you could really say is his, like, size. But he can, as we've seen with people before with the same or similar statures or, you know, bigs, usually it takes a while for them to fill out. Like, even for a guy like on our team with Jaren, we've seen these guys from year one to year five make a difference in terms of the NBA weight, you know, like, strength and training conditioning program. So, and it's just the injury, durability thing. Those are, like, the only questions. Because outside of that, to me, if that doesn't happen, you know, if he figures those things out, yeah. So, yeah, he's gonna be special. He's going to be special. Like even you said, even if he busts, he's the right pick. Like, he should go number one regardless, no doubt. No doubt about it, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I think that everybody knows who's going number one, but then everything else after that just seems to be completely up in the air. And I think it's going to be kind of like last year where even up until a few minutes before the draft, people, like, I think it was Woj that tweeted out the wrong first overall pick. Like, all of this stuff is going to happen. Like, we're not going to know anything really. I don't think until the picks happen. I don't think it's going to, like, there are some years where, you know, like, the top five. This year does not seem like that. So for your lottery predictions, do you have anybody that you think is in the lottery that a lot of people, like, aren't expecting, or somebody who's going to, like, slip a little bit? And then who do you think is going to be number two? Do you think it'll be Scoot or Brandon Miller?
So for the number two pick, I'm definitely a Scoot guy. I like Brandon Miller a lot. I'm not as high on him in terms of taking him number two. I think he's a really good player. I don't see the superstar upside. I have some questions about, you know, his creation and, like, how is he going to be? Is he really going to be a guy that you can give the ball to and be a true creator on the offensive end? I think that's kind of the big swing trait for him. If he ends up being a guy who can do a lot of creating for himself, then, like, he's got a pretty complete game otherwise, and he's going to make a team really good. But Scoot is one of the best guards I've ever evaluated. I mean, talk about a guy who, you know, we were talking about Wemby, and you're spot on talking about the development he's got to go through with his body. Scoot's the exact opposite. Like, he comes in, he's ready to play in the NBA. Like, he looks like an NBA guard. I'm not a huge comparison guy, but I'm going to make one. And because I think it's one of the more apt ones, Scoot does really remind me of De'Aaron Fox. I think they'll be pretty similar players. I feel very confident in saying that someone's getting a franchise cornerstone with Scoot Henderson. I think you'd get a very, very good player with Brandon Miller. I just don't have the same level of confidence that some others do in terms of Brandon Miller going two over Scoot. At three, like, you can take Brandon Miller. That's fine. I have him personally sixth on my board, but in a very close tier with some of those other guys in there. So no problem at three. As far as, like, lottery surprises, always hard to predict. I guess one guy that has really risen up, this was a guy I identified pretty early on that I would like for the Grizzlies, and it just seems like there's going to be no chance. That's Kobe Bufkin from Michigan. I think throughout the season, you know, Jet Howard took a lot of the attention because everyone sees, you know, son of an NBA player, 6'8", shooter, what the league is looking for, right? Well, it turns out that his teammate is probably going to go ahead of him, the combo guard Kobe Bufkin, and seems like his range maybe starts around like 8 or 9 to Utah or Washington, maybe as high as that. So, you know, it seems like every year someone's kind of like late teens, early 20s, and all of a sudden they start to creep up, and I think Bufkin's that guy this year. In terms of slipping, what's really surprised me the last couple of days is Cam Whitmore. I've seen him as far down as like 9-10 in some mocks. Whitmore's a guy I'm super high on because I really buy the creation and the body. Like, I just think he's going to be able to get to places in the NBA that a lot of guys his age aren't going to be able to get to. And so anyways, that would surprise me, but a lot of these Intel mocks do have Whitmore starting to slide down a little bit.
Yeah, I noticed that you had him at fourth on your mock, like you said. So I noticed that. And then the other thing I noticed was the Thompson twins. So I've been following a little bit of that from like the Overtime Elite, because I always thought that was like a really interesting thing that they were doing with that, with bringing in like a lot of younger players. And I think that maybe I don't know how high Amin is going to go, but I think that there was some question marks about like the competition level that they were playing against, just because nobody's ever been really drafted at an Overtime Elite before, because this is basically like the first time they've ever had like draft eligible players at this level, at least. So what can you say about those two and their, what they kind of project to be in the NBA as well?
Yeah. So Amen, I have him in the same tier as Scoot Henderson. I just buy basically everything. I mean, he's 6'6", 6'7". Looks like he's got a tremendous body, really like one of the best basketball athletes I've ever seen. Like, he does just some unnatural movements on the floor that allow him to create space and get by guys. And I just think he's going to be really hard to contain one-on-one. And because of that, he's going to be able to change the way the defense, he's going to start to get the defense into rotation, right? When he does that, really good at getting to the rim and finishing, but such an elite passer and playmaker. And then defensively, I wrote it in my board. I think he's got all defense upside. Like, just truly a remarkable athlete, excellent competitor, tremendous playmaker. Obviously, the shot is the huge concern. And if he shoots, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Amen ended up as the second best guy in this draft. He's really, I think, got that kind of upside. Now, the problem is, if he doesn't shoot, you know, what does that then look like? So that's the big swing skill. I don't know if I buy the shot a ton, but I also don't think he needs to be any more than like a league average at best shooter to be knocking on like an all-star level player. As far as Asar goes, a little bit lower on Asar, but still have him 10th, one tier below Amen. He's got a little bit better, a little bit more projectable jump shot than Amen does. He's, to me, Asar is a true wing. Another just incredible athlete and incredible defender, whose playmaking is maybe not as good as his brother, but the shooting upside's a little bit more projectable. So I think you're right. Like, the competition is a very real concern, because this is so new. The whole Overtime Elite thing is very new. It's not like, you know, we're watching these guys play for the G League Ignite, and so we know some of those guys are playing against, or it's not like they're playing major college basketball. So again, we know what those guys are playing against. It's kind of a mixed bag. You know, there's a couple Overtime Elite guys that beyond the Thompson twins that look kind of interesting, but in general, the competition level is not very good. And they dominated. Like, the numbers they put up, they were clearly the two best guys in that league by far. But I really, really buy Amen. If I had to pick one, I really think that guy is going to be a special NBA player.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And then before we kind of get into like what our picks were going to be as well, if you had to pick one guy, if the Grizzlies do decide to pick at 25, who is number one on your Grizzlies options?
That's a great question. It's always hard, right? Because like, you start to get to 25. I mean, you go look at mocks, there's tons of guys available. We were talking about a little bit before we started recording, like, you just don't know exactly who's going to be there. So if I had to pick one guy that I think kind of checks like really high on my personal board and is available in a lot of the Intel mocks, it's probably Leonard Miller from the G League Ignite. He's, I think, could end up being the perfect guy to pair next to Jaren. Like, truly an elite rebounder at a very young age in a really good league, in the G League. And he's got kind of this like really funky scoring game, not much of a shooter, but just can kind of twist his body in weird ways and like figures out how to put the ball in the basket, you know? And I think you combine that with a floor spacer like Jaren, and a guy in Leonard Miller who can really cover for Jaren's rebounding so that he can go chase blocks and do what he needs to do defensively. Like, they just make a lot of sense to me together. And I feel like Leonard Miller has become a little undervalued. So if he's there at 25, I'd write his name on my card and turn it in as quickly as I could, you know?
Yeah. Alex, I was about to say, it looks like I know you like Leonard Miller a lot. I know that you had him number one on your list too.
Yeah, I did. We were going to get into it, but yeah, because I was looking at a lot of guys yesterday in the last couple of days, actually. And I was watching Leonard Miller, and I was like, wait, he seems like, if obviously the shooting is a question, but I'm like, if the shooting is all right, like, he should be like a lottery pick low key, like, to me at least. I'm like, because he's 6'10". He's got like a 7'2", 7'3" wingspan. He can move. He's mobile. He rebounds well. Can guard multiple positions. The only thing you can say is his shooting is the question, but everything else he does well. So I'm like, that holds a lot of value for teams. And I'm like, and I'm seeing he's like, you know, like mid first, late first. And I'm like, okay, that doesn't make too much sense to me in my head. But again, you know, it's all a situation. But like for the Grizzlies, like Chip was saying, like, yeah, I would be, listen, he's number one for me because, like you said, the fit with him and Jaren makes sense. And because we've seen guys, even though we need more shooting, you can't pass up a guy, at least in my opinion, that checks a lot of boxes physically and also like intangibly. Because if you go look at our roster, you got a guy like BC who kind of does similar things, but he's like 6'8". And then you got maybe another person that does this, but like he checks, like you might have a good rebounder, but he might not be a good shooter. But like he fits a lot of things. The only question about him is shooting. And for me personally, like at worst, even if he's like a Jared Vanderbilt type of player, he probably will still have more offensive game than him in terms of like if you're projecting him to be that well. And if he's shooting well, then that's even better for us because now you can play a lineup where Jaren's at the five, Miller's at the four. Then you could probably play, if you want to play a shooting lineup with like Luke, Bane, and then Ja, like that's going to be very tough, very tough. So, yeah, Leonard Miller's a really good player to me. And he has a little bit of playmaking potential too that I don't think gets talked about a lot, like at his size. Like he's 6'10", and he can push and he can grab a rebound, go coast to coast with it at times. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be like a primary ball handler, but if he can be a secondary playmaker, that even adds another element. So, yeah, I'm a big Leonard Miller fan for the Grizzlies for sure.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan of Leonard Miller too. And then kind of like what you guys said, you know, he has – all the physical tools of like what the Grizzlies do need. And I think there's two ways you can look at it because the Grizzlies, I think they definitely need somebody to kind of shore up their front court. You saw that in the postseason when, you know, after losing Brandon Clark and Steven Adams went down, they were really struggling. And they also need somebody who can guard like on the wing too with the loss of Dylan Brooks. And I think that's something Leonard Miller could help in on both of those. There's not a lot of players that can really do all of that at the same time like he can that's in the draft. And if he's available at 25, which I don't know if he will be, I think like you said, there's a lot of variation on the drafts and stuff, but I think he's a guy they could pick. Another guy I wanted to talk about, which I was actually surprised that he wasn't first on your list, Alex, because you are an Ohio State guy, but I got to talk about Bryce Sensabaugh because I like you, Alex, I was looking at a lot of guys and I just can't get past the 40% from three. Like that just speaks something to me. It just, in this NBA, especially after the way the season ended in the playoffs, if you can get a guy that was averaging like 16 a game in college shooting 40% from three at 25, I feel like you got to take a chance on that. Especially just because I'm just thinking about how many open shots were missed, like in that. Like, not to say that he's going to come in and, you know, be Luke Kennard or something and just, you know, or be as good as Desmond Bane was his rookie year. But I think that's something you can bet on. And he has – it's not like he's just a spot-up guy, too. He's shown that he can put the ball on the floor a little bit, get to the mid-range game. Like, I think that's something else they need is somebody that can be, like, a true three-level scorer. I think we've talked about that a lot in the offseason, too. So I think that that's something – that's somebody that could help them on all three levels offensively. So I think that's – one of the guys I would look at for them as well. But like I said, it's also going to depend on, you know, what other moves they make if they're going to bring in a guy like that. So there's a lot that can change between now and Thursday too.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly debated when you asked me whether I should say Bryce Sensabaugh or Leonard Miller. So we're right there together. I had Leonard just a little bit higher on my board than Bryce, but like, I think Bryce is being incredibly undervalued. Like Gavoni had him at 31 on his mock draft that came out most recently. And I was saying to you guys, like, I would be just as comfortable taking, you know, Bryce Sensabaugh in the top 10 than I would to like let him fall into the second round. I think he's like that good of a shooting prospect. And, you know, he does everything, like catch and shoot. He gets his feet set really quickly. He can get into the shot fast. And then he's just kind of got this unique strength for a guy as young as he is, like really strong physical body. And like, he's just going to push a defender to the spot he wants to get to. And he's got incredible touch, and you can't stop him in the mid range. Like, I think he shot almost 50% on pull up twos, and only like 15% of those were assisted, like, or, you know, on all twos. And like I said, 85% of those were pull up twos. Like, he's an incredible creator, incredible jump shooter. Like, exactly what this team is needing and looks for in their wings.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm an Ohio State fan, so I watched a lot of Bryce. I think again with Bryce, I know for one thing for sure, he can score in the league. Like, I'm not that worried. When you got a guy that at that size with that type of efficiency, yeah, he can score. I think the questions for him more so are like the defense and the playmaking. But I think if you're talking about a team like that could cover up for those, why you're improving is the Grizzlies, because you got a defensive player in the end, Jaren. If you play him in lineups with Jaren, like, you want, he can cover up for him defensively. And then in terms of the playmaking aspects, you might need to depend on him a little bit more because of the, you know, whatever, what, you know, if you, the John Tyus stuff going into the next season, if you're going to have, you know, Tyus is traded, or, you know, when Nerva Jaws back, you might have to depend on him a little bit more. But even then, he wouldn't be your main playmaker, and you'd be able to cover up for certain stuff because he'd be able to score. And so I really believe in what he can do. And I think like you said, Chip, I would take him more higher than late first or early second. Like, he's a easy first round talent to me, because the thing is, like, again, like, if, especially if he shores up the things I'm talking about, he's a starter level player, especially if he can defend. Because he's 6'5", 6'6", and I think he's like 220, like, and especially if he turn and he gets a little bit quicker and stuff like that, like, he will be able to guard multiple positions too, while also being able to score. And a lot of teams need that, especially when you're watching teams play a lot of guys that want to be able to guard multiple positions and then score from all different levels. So yeah, I'm a big Bryce fan, and I would love for him to be on the Grizzlies if he were there, which, I mean, it could be a possibility, but again, you know how the draft goes. It could be just crazy how the night unfolds.
Yeah, definitely. And just to keep going on a couple of these other guys, so when you're talking about the mock drafts, I looked at the Ringer's mock draft too, and there was a guy on there that I've seen a lot of people, I feel like, on Grizzlies Twitter have kind of started to like move to from Santa Clara, and Brandon, I don't know how to say his last name, I'm gonna be honest. I'm just gonna call him AirPods, because that's what everybody's been calling
Pods.
Him.
I say there Pods, yeah.
But hey, I watched his highlights, and it seems like if you want a dude who can come off the bench and just give you kind of like a spark, like, that's what I saw when I saw his highlights, of like, he'd be like a spark plug kind of dude. And, you know, I think he has enough size and everything to where he could probably play the two or the three, but he's probably going to be more of like a shooting guard, I'd say. But, dude, when he has the ball in his hands, he can do a lot. And I think that was the thing that really jumped out to me, is that he's like a true shot creator. And I think that having just true shot creators on the bench is something that, I mean, you saw like throughout the playoffs, even on Denver, just having even a guy like KCP that came in and made some big shots. Now, not to say he's just going to come in and be as good as those guys like right now, but he projects as a guy who, like, he's going to do a lot of catch and shoot stuff. But if you bring him in and you let him kind of run the offense with a second unit, I feel like he could do a lot of really good things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I love Pods. I think it's Pajimski. I think I watched enough Santa Clara games. They said Pajimski, so that's how I always say it. I don't know. I'm kind of with you there. AirPods is way easier to say, so we'll just go with that. But he's a guy that – so, like, when you just run some stats queries, right, like, based on, hey, like, the Grizzlies have drafted XYZ, here are some of the statistical indicators that they've hit, like – Pods pops up in a lot of those. So I wrote in kind of a draft preview thing for Bluff City Media that it would shock me if they don't have some level of interest in Pods at the very least. And I think, like, you know, when they start to talk about, like, the Grizzlies are looking to trade up, it would not shock me if Pods is a trade-up guy for them. Because forever, early on in this process, he was a second-round guy, kind of teetering first round, late first, early second. Now it seems pretty comfortable. Like, he's going to go before the Grizzlies get on the clock at 25. I would be surprised if he's there at this point. Like, elite advanced numbers, elite shooting numbers, both off the dribble and catch and shoot. Like, Santa Clara ran him off all kinds of actions, pin downs, down screens, like all kinds of stuff. And he was just making shots all over the place. Crazy balance as a finisher around the hoop too. Really good touch on his shot. The concern is defense. He's a weird athlete, like, cause he's a pretty good athlete, but not the bounciest guy, and like a little bit slow footed for a guy who like, you just look at him, you're like, okay, this guy's athletic. But then you watch him play defense and he has, like, guys are getting around him kind of easy, has a hard time recovering back to him. And so that's my concern with him. I couldn't quite get to lottery with Pods, but I think I have him ended up with 16. Yeah, 16 on my board. And I would be, like, thrilled with him. There's kind of a theme in this draft that, like, in the mid-first round, you've got a lot of these, like, combo guards. That is a profile the Grizzlies have kind of been lacking. I think we all hoped maybe John Conchar would develop into that guy. And Conchar is a fine NBA player, but I think you could upgrade over Conchar. And you talk about guys like Pods, Nick Smith, Kobe Bufkin, Tre'Quavion Smith, Keyonte George. Like, if you're looking for that profile, there's plenty of guys in this draft that you can go get. And Pods is definitely one of the higher ones, one of the guys I really like.
Yeah, for sure. I was watching his highlights a couple of days ago, really yesterday too. And like, I was just like, he looks like, cause as you know, with the Grizzlies, especially under this regime with Zach Kleiman, you can watch a player and tell, like, once either before the draft or when they draft him, you look at him like, that's a Grizzly player. Like, they have a type.
Yeah.
And I was watching him play and I was like, yeah, he looks like somebody the Grizzlies would take, like, for sure. Like, it just, it'll look like it for sure. Cause like, really, and like you said, the advanced numbers, he hits them. But not only that, like, he has a good feel for the game, plays within the flow of an offense. Like, I'm like, okay, like, it makes a lot of sense of why they would pick him. And like you said, the questions is probably going to be defensively. And I guess I keep saying the Jaren thing, but it matters when you have a defensive player of the year. You can kind of be able to draft guys that are not as good as defenders coming in and let them develop into better defenders when you have a guy like Jaren on your team. And so, like, for us, like, I just think that Pods would fit very well because he probably is more of a two, but like you said, he probably could be like he is more of like a combo guard. So that is the thing that we've been kind of lacking, is a guy that can play the one and the two. So it's kind of like he would be able to come in and fit that profile right away, especially 6'4", 6'5". So, yeah, no, I mean, I'm a fan of his game. Like you said, I think he's a more of a slower athlete, but I think he can make up for it with his IQ. If he learns, you know, how to guard positionally and, you know, angles and things of that nature, I think he'll be able to overcompensate for stuff like that. And, you know, in certain situations, stuff like that. But yeah, I'm a fan of his game for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. And then kind of just to finish up on like Grizzlies options and stuff too, Alex, I don't know if you have anybody else you wanted to talk about for the first round picks, but after we kind of get through the first round picks, I do want to go quickly in and talk about some of the second round guys you're looking for, or maybe some two-way guys you think the Grizzlies will look at as well, especially now that they are going to add a third two-way spot. So I feel like there's a lot of guys that they could be looking at, but it's kind of like I said, with the first round, it's really hard to know who's going to be there. But do you have like an early list of guys you would see them taken with? I think they have two second round picks. So with either of those picks.
Yeah, definitely some guys in that range I really like. I can just rattle off a few names. One guy that, again, you start doing like the stats queries and just trying to see, like, are there any similar players to some guys the Grizzlies have drafted? Again, a guy that I identified pretty early on is Kobe Brown from Missouri. It's kind of a hybrid wing big, really played the center for Missouri, but built kind of like a David Roddy type. I think he listed 6'8", around 250 pounds. He's a big guy. And so it made sense that he played center in college, but has enough creation, I think, to play on the wing eventually. But definitely a guy who could guard down, guard some fours and fives. Again, like you pop on the tape, you watch that guy, the way he's making decisions, just a super smart basketball player on both ends, just kind of radiates those Grizzly vibes that you were talking about earlier. Andre Jackson from UConn, ultimate connector, team player. If there was any hope that he could shoot or do anything on offense, I'd probably have him as a borderline lottery guy. I respect the heck out of Andre Jackson. And again, just a guy that does a lot of winning stuff that doesn't always pop up in the box score that the Grizzlies, I think, really value. So he's another one. Ricky Council from Arkansas is a guy that in this process watched a lot of Arkansas because you've got Council, Jordan Walsh, you've got Nick Smith. Like, you had a bunch of guys at Arkansas, and really, you know, Council was not someone, because he's not the one and done freshman, right? He's a junior, so not really the guy I went in to watch a lot, but I just was constantly impressed with, like, kind of his not a similar level player, but plays the game kind of the way DeMar DeRozan does, just like a mid-range killer, like super athlete, gets to the basket, finishes, like just an electric player. I really, really liked Ricky Council if he was there at 45. I don't know. I'll give a couple more names here. Julian Strother, sharpshooter from Gonzaga. I think people are pretty familiar with his game. Jalen Slauson, a guy they confirmed to work out from Furman. Kind of like a Brandon Clark type, undersized big, but like really good defensive instincts, good play finisher, maybe some upside on the wing. And last one for me is a guy that I was not super high on throughout the season, and the more I went back and watched, I just kind of liked more and more. That's Amari Bailey, the combo guard from UCLA. You know, just like kind of a weird circumstance with him at UCLA. You know, they had Tiger Campbell, they had Jaime Jaquez, they had a lot of these guys that were kind of established stars, so he really had to take a bit of a back seat. But then his teammate Jalen Clark got hurt, and the second half of the season, Bailey really played well. Another guy, super highly touted recruit. I think he's a pretty consensus top 10 recruit. And I think as the season went on, he got better and better. And again, if you're looking for that combo guard, you miss on someone in the first round, Bailey is someone who I think could end up playing some real valuable NBA minutes that you could get in the second round.
Yeah, for sure. I think, Bryson, to answer your question about first round, before I hit on two people in the second round, first round, there were a couple other guys that I had. One was Jet Howard. If he's there, I've been a Jet Howard fan, like early 6'8" shooter. There's questions about the defense and the rebounding. But again, when you got a guy that can shoot at that size, I'm big on the Grizzlies getting shooting with size. So, Jet Howard was one, and another one is Chris Murray. I really was a fan of Chris Murray. In terms of, he might not have a high upside, but I'm very confident on his floor in terms of what he can be as a player. If he can be a 3-and-D combo forward, that's all you need. But in the second round, Chip, you talked about him. Julian Strother from Gonzaga. I really liked his game. He's a really good shooter, and he can shoot not only off the catch, but like off of movement too. Like, he has a really quick release. And I was like, okay, yeah, like I could see the fit there. And another one, he's actually local here in Nashville, Ben Shepherd from Belmont. I was a fan of his game. He seemed like a guy that was like a riser, like, because I remember he wasn't really talked about. And then once he went through like the combine and stuff, he was more of like a early second than like a late second, and maybe even like back end of the late first. So those are really like two names that I really looked at and really thought they could fit well with the Grizzlies as well. So, yeah, I really would like them well if they were at 45, if we even stay at 45, because, you know, the Grizzlies love to trade up and do things of that nature. So if they like them, they'll go get them for sure.
Yeah, and then that was actually going to be the last thing that I was going to talk about, is we know that I think every draft since Zach Kleiman took over, the Grizzlies have traded up in the first round. I think, and I'm pretty sure in every single draft they traded up. So this is something that it's kind of become his MO. So do you guys see them trading up, or do you see them just trading completely out, or do you think they're going to keep the pick, you know, 2 days before?
I mean, I'm going to go with what history tells us, and that's that they're going to trade up and they're going to go get their guy. Now, how high they go, I think that's the question. because I think what for Brandon Clark, they maybe moved up like two spots. They jumped, I think, Boston or OKC or one of them to go get Brandon Clark. And so they could do something like that where they think a team one or two spots ahead of them, they just need to go, you know, it's a little bit like they did for Laravia last year. Just move up a few spots, go make sure you get your guy. If I had to throw one last name out there is like, if this guy slips out of the lottery, starts getting 15, 16, 17, he's still there. Haven't heard him brought up a ton because he's projected to go high. But a guy that I really think would make a lot of sense for the current roster and makes a lot of sense for the way the Grizzlies have drafted the last few years, that's Kaysen Wallace from Kentucky. Like super high steal numbers, big time assist guy. I think he was miscast at Kentucky as a point guard. I really think he's going to be best as playing like kind of an undersized 2-3 position. But like one of the best point of attack defenders, not with the last name Thompson, in this draft. I think he's incredible. And I've started to see him slip out of the lottery in several of these mocks. And just, again, those statistical numbers that they look at, Wallace checks a lot of those boxes. So that if they want to go high, I could see him being a target.
Yeah, for sure. Kaysen Wallace is a dude I was looking at too as a guard, like that the Grizzlies might be able to get if they were to trade up. Because I remember them talking about there was rumors about the Grizzlies trying to trade into the late lottery early. I think it was like a couple days ago. So I definitely would have been surprised with him. But I do think they are going to trade up, even if it's only like three spots. Personally, I keep talking about it. I keep saying it because we've talked about it before, Bryson, with, you know, like free agency and things of that nature and trades. I keep saying Tyus and I think what 25 for like Dorian Finney-Smith and 22 with Brooklyn. I keep saying they're going to keep doing that. I'm keep speaking to the existence because they're going to, it gives them the best of both worlds. They get a wing that they could throw into the starting lineup. They also get another pick, or they get to move up as well. So they get the best of both worlds. You get a player that can probably start day one, and then you get another prospect that you can have on your roster. It just seems too much of a layup to me to do. But again, I don't know if they're going to do it because again, they could get a better deal, whatever. But that would be the trade I think happens because, like we said, some guys are like the way this board is, how the green room invites and all that's shaking out, somebody's going to fall. And I feel like the Grizzlies is going to have an opportunity to get one of those guys. And even if it's only three spots, that might be the difference because they've already named like 23 guys. And some of these guys weren't even on that we talked about, weren't even in the green room. So like all they got to do is probably move up a couple spots anyway. They might not have to move from like 25 to 15 to get their guy. It just really depends on how the night plays out because, again, the way it's talked about, these guys have such a big range. Like, their range and their variance of range is crazy. Like, you got guys that, like, we talked about with Leonard Miller, who some say he could go late lottery, some say he could go mid or late first. Like, and that's, like, really everybody, like, for the most part. So, most of the guys in the first round. So, yeah, I definitely think the Grizzlies will trade up. Even in the second round, I think they'll trade up. So, because they did it before, like I think they did that with Tillman to get him a couple years ago when they got Tillman. I think because they got Bane at 30 and then they traded up to 35 to get Tillman, I think. So, I mean, I wouldn't really like I think they got trends, you know, when I follow the trends of what this front office does. And I would be very surprised if they didn't trade up because history shows if they see somebody that's creeping down there like high on their board, they're going to trade up. They're going to do it like it and do it every year. So it just be hard for me not to see it happen again this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I say the same thing. I do think that they're going to end up trading up, even if it is just a couple picks, just because it's kind of like whenever, like you said, following the trends tell you that that's what they're going to do. And like you said, everybody has such a big range that there could be somebody that, you know, people think is going to be in the lottery. They might fall to 16, 17. They might fall to 23, 24. So it's always interesting when it comes to the NBA drafts, especially once you like get out of the lottery. Cause I feel like there's a lot of years where it's like, okay, you got like 16, 17 guys. It's like, okay, these guys might be in the lottery. And then there's like kind of like a cutoff, but this year it feels like that line is blurred a lot. So there's a lot of guys that maybe in other years would be in the lottery, but for this year, you know, they're behind other guys because of, you know, there's a lot of guys at a certain position and stuff like that that might be better. So it's going to be really interesting to see what ends up happening. But I just want to say thank you to Chip for coming on this week. And before we end, tell the people where they can find you and find all your work on social media or online.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you guys having me. It was a great time. So definitely give me a follow on Twitter at Chip Williams Jr. I'll continue to pump out a bunch of draft stuff once this draft is over with over at Grizzly Bear Blues and Bluff City Media. So pleasure was all mine, fellas. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir, for sure. And for this episode, thank you to everybody that listened to the Next Gen Podcast here on the Bluff City Media Podcast Network. For our guests, Chip Williams, Alex Winton, I'm your host, Bryson Wright, and I'll see y'all next week.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Next Gen Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like and a comment wherever you download your podcasts. Head over to www.bluffcitymedia.co, where you will find comprehensive coverage of all things Memphis sports and how you can become an insider. We'll see you back here next time.